I'm very happy now to welcome back to the show Sandy Buffett. She's Executive Director of Conservation Voters New Mexico. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Great to be back, Mary Charlotte.
So we always have you on at least once during the legislature, and it's a 30-day legislative session. First of all, what is Conservation Voters New Mexico?
Well, thanks for asking. CVNM is an organization that works to build the political voice for conservation. You know, many people ask me, well, how are you different from other environmental groups? Because we have so many great environmental groups in New Mexico doing very worthy things. And what makes us unique is that we do build that political voice for conservation, and we do that by engaging in politics. And there are three things that make Conservation Voters New Mexico unique. First, we elect pro-environmental champions, and we defeat elected officials who put the special interests above the health of our environment and our communities.
Not just you try to elect them or defeat them, you do.
Yes, we we do. We're very pleased that we've helped elect folks like Commissioner Ray Powell, many members of our state legislature, and, you know, we're in an election year this year, too. So, but, you know, we get involved in politics not just for the sake of being political. We do it so that we can pass strong policies that protect our air, land, water, wildlife, and what we love most about New Mexico. And actually, CVNM is the only full-time environmental lobbyist in the Roundhouse working to defeat all of the attacks on our environment.
Of which there are every year, as I learned from having you on the air, many.
Many, yes. And then we do keep score, and we hold elected officials accountable for their environmental votes through our scorecard that you can see online. Now, you mentioned there are many. We're pleased that for 7 years in a row, we've had 100% rate of success defending against every one of those attacks on our environment. Last year, it was close to 70 bills.
Amazing. That's extraordinary.
Well, you know, we know that New Mexicans are with us. In fact, there was a poll released this week by Colorado College. The poll, which incidentally was conducted by the same pollster as Governor Susana Martinez, so I do hope she's seen the poll. The poll found most New Mexicans say that the state should be doing more to protect our water, air, natural areas, and wildlife, and only 11% of New Mexicans disagreed with that statement. And so, you know, we think we're representing these values in the hallways of the legislature.
And those values go far beyond party politics.
Indeed, indeed. The poll actually found across party lines, you know, that New Mexicans support conservation. There was even, I think, a crosstab in the poll that showed that whether you were an occupier or a Tea Partier, 73% of Tea Party supporters identify as conservationists. 77% of occupiers identify
That's
as conservationists.
Fascinating.
So I think the disconnect is
Wall
you know,
Street.
I mean
that's the people who aren't getting it.
Oh, and folks, New Mexicans are busy feeding their kids and going to work and or trying to find work. And there's a disconnect between how we're being represented in the Roundhouse and what the poll finds about our environmental values.
So we are now, about halfway through the 30-day legislative session,
mm-hmm.
which in theory is about the budget, but of course there's always a gazillion bills introduced, as Linda Siegel tells us
yes,
every Friday.
Yes.
What's going on in terms of environmental bills?
Well, we've just passed the deadline for bill introduction, so we're pretty sure we know what we've got on our plate here. We are in defense mode. Unfortunately, the reason why we're in defense mode is, one, because we have an administration that has several bills trying to undo our existing safeguards. But unfortunately, we don't yet have a pro-conservation majority in either chamber of the legislature. And if we did have those majorities, then we could be talking about passing visionary legislation, things that would move us forward on conservation.
But they would probably, under this administration, still be vetoed.
Yes, and actually we have evidence of that. Even when good environmental bills do reach Governor Martinez's desk, last year there were several examples that she vetoed. Senator Wirth had a great mercury bill that would have controlled the contamination from your dental fillings when they enter the water waste stream. And that was pocket vetoed by Governor Martinez.
So that was passed by both houses, and then she didn't sign it, which was essentially a veto.
Right. There was also a bill, a tax expenditure budget, which would have provided the public information on all the subsidies made available to corporations in this state, including oil and gas subsidies, and she outright vetoed that bill last year. And then there was a cyclist safety bill, also sponsored by Senator Wirth, and a energy efficiency for higher education facilities. And so that indicated to us that this 30-day session, we needed to be focused on holding the line.
Well, what are some places, let's look at some of the bills that you are following. One of them has to do with a uranium enrichment company.
Yes. You know, for many years, we've seen the budgets of New Mexico's key environmental enforcement agencies gutted, the divisions that are in charge of protecting our air, land, and water. And they're gutted because we're told, well, the state just doesn't have the money anymore. So we take a strong interest in tax bills and tax policy. So this one really caught our eye a few days ago. It's House Bill 70. Its companion is Senate Bill 23. It's called Uranium Hexafluoride Gross Receipts. In fact, the representative sponsor is Representative Jim Trujillo of Santa Fe on the House side. And this bill now, I think, has up to 9 lobbyists at this point for a single bill.
What does it say?
Well, what it does is it's a technical fix to an existing deduction. But the deduction is for gross receipts taxes for enriching uranium, a service that right now is performed by exactly only one company in New Mexico. The company is called Urenco, and it's owned by the governments of the Netherlands and the UK, and their facility is in southern New Mexico in Lee County. So we think that it's likely that right now the deduction is rather small, but...
They don't pay, because of an existing piece of legislation, they don't pay gross receipts taxes, or...
It was written many years ago during the time when the state was much more flush than it is now, and when the state was trying to attract nuclear enrichment corporations to southern New Mexico. So it's on the books. The actual bill is a technical fix to the way it's worded, but we think this is a good opportunity for us to review whether it should be on the books at all. The company, we think right now, is probably deducting a relatively small amount, but under the current permit of this company, the value of the deduction is $21.5 million. And we know that this company has filed a permit application to almost double their enrichment services by 2015. So what that means, according to our calculations and the current market rate of their product, is that when the facility is at full operation, that the lost revenue to the state of New Mexico could be approximately $40 million a year.
So what is it that you are trying to accomplish in the legislature right now?
Well, you know, we would love to see this deduction eliminated, but at the very least, we think a simple best practice amendment to this bill would be a sunset clause.
Ah, okay.
You know, we think it's only fair. New Mexico citizens are being asked to sacrifice these days. We hear from the legislature, well, you know, we can't go back on a deduction that was promised to a certain industry, you know, years ago. But public employees were given lots of promises too,
and the film industry,
and you know, so the state has cut there. And if state employees are being asked to sacrifice, we think it's not too much to ask a billion-dollar company to. You know, that
pay
we,
their groceries.
Yeah, that an eternal deduction is probably not appropriate in our eyes, especially one that will soon result in $40 million in lost revenue annually to the state.
There is not a bill, but a memorial, as probably many of our listeners know, or maybe not, is something that is, if it's passed, it doesn't actually have the force of law, but sometimes it precedes laws. It's kind of like the first pass.
Right, and it sort of sends the sentiment of the body sending a message. And we think this one sends a really bad message. House Memorial 12, sponsored by Representative Andy Nunez from Hatch, it opposes federal wilderness near the border. And, you know, Senators Bingaman and Udall have been working tirelessly with the communities of southern New Mexico for years to protect the wildlands of Doñana County. The memorial doesn't define border, and in some extreme federal legislation, that's up to 100 miles. So, you know, would that mean then that would include Gila wilderness?
Right.
So,
Otero Mesa.
Oh, yeah, sure. And, you know, in the poll I just mentioned, 63% of New Mexicans support the designation of more public lands as national monuments. So we think this memorial is really out of step with where New Mexicans are at and sends the wrong message to our federal delegation.
And so that is the kind of thing that, I mean, as we know, bills and memorials go through a committee process, and so for that particular memorial, if people want to make their feelings known about protecting wilderness area or not, mm-hmm. what should they do?
Well, we always believe it's best for legislators to hear from their constituents. And this is first going to the House Energy and Natural Resources Committee within a couple days. And as many of your listeners know, that's chaired by Representative Brian Egolf, who's a conservation champion.
Okay.
That's the only stop it has before it goes to the House floor. And because it's only a House memorial, that's its last stop. And memorials are not signed by the governor. So it basically has two stops, House Energy and Natural Resources Committee and the House floor.
So let the members of the committee, particularly those who represent your district, mm-hmm. know your feelings about
yes.
that.
Yes. And so, you know, we oppose HM 12.
Now, there's another bill that it relates to conservation easements.
Mm-hmm. Conservation Voters New Mexico has been working very closely with the land trust community, conservation land groups here in Santa Fe and around the state. We oppose this bill, Senate Bill 200, sponsored by Senator Phil Griego. What it does is it's going to erode the existing Landowner Conservation Incentive Act. We think that eroding conservation easements in New Mexico and limiting the tax credits is absolutely the wrong direction. We should be encouraging more landowners to look at conservation easements as a way to protect family farms and ranches and open space.
Now, conservation easements basically mean the person who owns the land still owns the land. They get a tax credit for designating the land as conservation land, which can then be used for any kind of outdoor purpose, agriculture, farming, wilderness, whatever, but it can't be built on, be developed.
Yeah, it's one tool in the toolbox for protecting land. And then what this bill does is that it guts the program, increasing the tax burden on the landowners, eliminates the participation of out-of-state landowners, which seems a little arbitrary, because the real purpose of it is to, you know, identify parcels of land in New Mexico that have high conservation value. Whether it's a New Mexico landowner or an out-of-state landowner, if it's New Mexico land that we're seeking to protect. And then it also converts capital gains to ordinary income, reducing the return. We have worked with this coalition of land trust groups, and Senator Griego, I believe, has heard quite a bit from his constituents on this one. So we think the public pressure is really turning this around. The bill does not appear to be moving, but we must remain vigilant until sine die, or adjournment, as they say.
Right. And that's basically a kind of little window into how the legislative process works in New Mexico. Public pressure really does seem to make a difference.
It does. In fact, just before we went on the air, I got a text message from my legislative director suggesting that we get some phone calls into some of the districts on one of these bills we just mentioned. So it really does matter It's a citizen legislature, and they care. They, you know, when they hear from their constituents, it can make a difference.
And it's a small state, so hearing from 20 or 30 people actually makes a big difference.
Indeed, indeed.
Now, there's another bill. When you were on a few years ago, this is when I started to be really impressed by Conservation Voters New Mexico, to whose executive director we're talking right now, Sandy Buffett, and that is that you not only understand but are able to explain to the public bills that regard really arcane tax policy. And there was this bill a few years ago called TIDD, T-I-D-D,
yeah,
which I still don't remember what it said.
Tax Increment Development Districts.
Right,
TIDs.
And so the TIDs are back.
Yes, the ghostly stepchild, I think, is Senate Bill 36, Transportation Reinvestment Zone Act. This would give local entities an ability to issue bonds for infrastructure and development. And the way it works is that the incremental increase of the, in theory, the higher taxes will repay the bondholders. And in the case of the one we defeated a few years ago, we were most worried about what it meant to divert that revenue away from the general fund of the state to private sector bondholders. And so we think... you know, this bill is you know, sort of a returned version of, you know, shadow of that bill. And we think it really sets New Mexico on the wrong track for the way we plan and build our cities and how we fund the infrastructure to support them. I mean, if we're going to use public monies, then there should be some public policy goals, such as sustainable, smart growth in those, you know, to receive that, those kinds of dollars.
And this basically turns it over to, for example, development corporations that do urban sprawl or things along those lines.
Well, and it's so vague and vast. We just think we we don't need to go here again.
It's also interesting, I mean, as an education for listeners who aren't really involved with and don't really want to be involved with the details of public policy, but one thing that one learns is that when a bill is written in a really vague way, mm-hmm. that opens a can of worms mm-hmm. years down the line where people can take advantage of it in ways that the public didn't understand or intend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, it's just so encompassing. And in a 30-day session with the citizen legislature, we don't think there's even enough time to have the proper debate that this issue merits.
Now, there's another bill that has to do with warning signs on lakes and rivers about mercury.
Yeah, this is one we love. This is Senator Peter Wirth's appropriations bill, Senate Bill 39, to make an appropriation to post warning signs on lakes and rivers where mercury levels may pose a risk to children or pregnant women. Now, it is getting late in the session, and this one doesn't appear to be moving, so the budget is, things are getting rolled into the budget right now, so I'm not sure if it's, this one's going to make it this year, but, you know, it's just a really simple and elegant idea of, that we need to inform folks who may be consuming mercury-laden fish, you know, especially if it's subsistence fishing for their families, and... you know, New Mexico, unfortunately, has mercury hotspots in our lakes and rivers. And so we want to make sure that people aren't consuming too much mercury and having the public health effects of that.
And so basically, I'm thinking this isn't a real high appropriation. In other words, it's basically making a bunch of metal signs and putting them in the ground.
It's a $100,000 appropriation from the general fund to the Department of Game and Fish.
Sandy Buffett, as you were saying before, a fairly recent poll, a very recent poll, just released a few days ago, basically tells us that New Mexico voters overwhelmingly support conservation, clean land, water, air. I guess it's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? Who wants dirty water, land, and air?
Right, exactly. The Colorado College State of the Rockies project. This poll was in several western states and really reveals fascinating information about New Mexicans really being in step with conservation values more than I think the elected officials realize. And so one of the things we found from this poll is that when asked whether environmental regulations have a positive or negative impact on jobs in their state, New Mexico voters are more likely to say they have a positive impact, 46%, rather than a negative impact, 32%. That's so different from some of the rhetoric we hear about, job-killing regulations.
I know. I mean, to call a spade, money controls politics way too much, mm-hmm. and the people who are saying that are basically people who want to be able to pollute with impunity. That's basically the bottom line, isn't it?
Well, we did face last year the so-called small business task force of this administration that didn't really have any mom and pops.
The small business task force didn't have any small businesses on it.
But there were several multinationals represented on it, certainly who have polluted in New Mexico in the past. But again, we think New Mexicans recognize that common sense safeguards that are already in place protecting our air, land, and water are protecting not only what we love most about New Mexico, but really laying the groundwork for, hunting and fishing, tourism industries, the reason why people come here to photograph, enjoy the clean air.
And as we've talked about before, businesses that want to relocate here want to locate in clean areas.
Yeah. I mean, CEOs, they want to come to a place that that has a nice quality of life. And so this sort of poll really reaffirms our belief that you can have job creation and a clean environment. There's also 70% of New Mexicans say that increasing the use of renewable energy, they believe, will create jobs in New Mexico.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So
if people want to get involved with Conservation Voters New Mexico, either to make their voices heard or just to find out more about the organization, what should they do?
Well, as I said, it's an election year, so it's going to be an exciting time to be a part of Conservation Voters. They can keep up with us on Facebook, Conservation Voters New Mexico on Facebook. We also now have a Twitter account called ProtectNM, for those of you who tweet. And if you'd like to become a member of CVNM, you can go to cvnm.org.
Sandy Buffett is the Executive Director of Conservation Voters New Mexico. Thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.